Good morning and welcome to the Friday, May 8th, 2009 edition of the Investigative Journal. I'm your host, Greg Szymanski. You're listening to LibertyRadioLive.com. My guest today is former FBI agent John Peeler, and John has a story that, in my estimation, should vindicate the Alamo people without question. We have also another guest on the line that we'll get to in a minute. But John, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure you're there. John, let's start out. Just give us a little bit of a background on your history with the FBI.
Well,
and then
The last agency I worked for in the early 1980s, I was sworn in by Federal Judge George Howard Jr. as a special undercover investigator for the Violent Crime Task Force. I mean, this is before the Patriot Act, and before the Patriot Act, I'm not a lawyer now, and I don't have immunity from prosecution, so I have to try to be careful what I say, and especially because people are hanging on every word, and you have a lot of listeners that are former colleagues of mine, as I have noted, because since I've been on your show and Deanne Burley's show, I've been asked to come into the FBI headquarters and been given 3 polygraph tests, you know, about things that I said on your show and so forth, and I passed all polygraph tests. But let me read a little letter from my insurance company, if I may. This was February the 16th, 1996. Thank you for allowing us to provide homeowners insurance with State Farm Insurance Company. Your insurance company is no longer acceptable to State Farm fire and casualty company because your premium does not contemplate the exposure that may be generated by your undercover activities with the CIA, the FBI, the DEA, etc. If you have any questions, please contact us. We have to notify your mortgager, but we will not disclose the above reason for the decision. You see, they use it, you know, it's like when they make a legend. When they talk to the right people, they say you are. Then they say you're not and so forth. They say whatever they want to say. But what I did, I've been told by lawyers since then, was totally against the law. What we did, people like you that have a nice radio talk show, we targeted, got to know you, tried to find out something you're doing wrong. In the case of Pastor Tony Alamo, I hung with him for a long time and his people and stuff. I tried to, with the help of the BATF, I tried to give him a truckload of fully automatic weapons, but he didn't want to overthrow. You know, they wanted to make him David Koresh before Vernon Wayne Howe was David Koresh. They wanted to make an example out of him as to people that write letters and talk and get on shows and talk against the government and so forth, and what the might of the government can do against those kind of people and so forth. I mean, I'm trying to get right with God now. I'm an old guy. Pastor Alamo is over 75 now. And I'm an old guy myself, and I'm trying to get right with God. I'm no longer with any federal agency whatsoever. So, you know, like they told me when I went to court against some guys, if all else fails, tell the truth. So that's where we're at now, Greg.
All right, John. I wanted to say we have a couple people from the Alamo Ministry on the lines that probably want to ask you some questions, and I asked them to have a little bit of patience for a few minutes here while I just give us some background.
Okay.
So that our listeners can understand the importance that your testimony has, and I believe vindicating what's happened to Tony Alamo and a bunch of their children have been taken away and kidnapped. Over 35 children still remain in child custody. And let's go back, John. Your first encounter with the Alamo administration, we've talked about this on my show before. You were assigned without question to find anything you could on him back in the 90s to bring this ministry down.
In the 80s, sir, in the 80s.
Okay,
but
in the 80s.
Yeah, and the deal is, he had God had really blessed him. He was a good businessman. He had a lot of people that believed in him and believed in his ministry that helped him out. He had volunteers that worked for free for him and community people and stuff. And I mean, and I talked to him. I talked to his people. I couldn't find him doing anything wrong. And the people that I was working with at the time, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, Federal Bureau of Investigation, United States Secret Service, all these guys, and some of them were Catholic and so forth, and the Catholics were the ones that were the most vehement against him. They wanted, if we couldn't capture or get him on some kind of thing or get him to admit that he was trying to overthrow the government or something, they wanted him killed, just period, out killed. And I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I told the people that I work with, my handlers and so forth, that, man, this guy is squeaky clean. I can't find anything wrong with him. I can't do anything to this man because, I mean, it would be like doing something to Jesus Christ or something. This guy is so squeaky clean and goes out of his way to help. He would literally give people the shirt off his back, literally. I mean, the guy was so squeaky clean. I told him the only way you're going to get this guy is taxes. And that's exactly how they got him. They set him up on a tax sting operation. He had over 32 businesses, was helping people around the world out. Just a great guy. And to my knowledge, he still is.
Okay, let's go. Now, this was back in the 80s and the 90s, so yep. You spent a lot of time investigating him. Did you ever see any child abuse or anything going on in their ministry during that period of time?
No, sir, not at all. But I did talk to some of his people. And they told me they encourage people as soon as they're old enough to get married and ask them why they did that. And they told me they did that because they didn't want them to get involved in all kind of sex things that the society does now and so forth, and sexual immorality and so forth. And they would prefer that people get married and stay married than get involved in sexual immorality. So
now,
some
back
of their
during
children
the...
did get married at an early age. I mean, they were legal old enough to get married. In some states, you know, the age is different than other states.
You know, before we get to some of the questions from the people on the line from the Alamo Ministry, before you were assigned to bring down Tony Alamo in the 80s and the 90s, tell us some of the other things you were involved in so people understand how your agency operated with cases like this, with Bible-believing ministries, and other, you know, like Waco, other things that
right. You
had information about. Tell us how
that's
this
correct.
All ties together.
Okay, sure. And that's the problem. It is all tied together. Now, see, most of the cases I did were totally legitimate and above board, except that it wasn't legal then to target specific people and organizations and so forth like we did. I would belong to an organization. I joined with permission from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, I joined the Invisible Empire, the Knights of Ku Klux Klan, on 9:02 a.m. April the 19th, Patriots Day, their holy holiday, the first day, the first shot of the American Revolution. I joined on Patriots Day, and they were planning on blowing up the Oklahoma Federal Building, getting involved with Muslim terrorist organizations, laundering money, and then eventually taking out the world, with the help of Muslims, taking out the World Trade Center is what they were planning on doing. And see, Vernon Wayne Howe, David Koresh, when I talked to his people and so forth, I didn't talk to David himself because I always end up missing him, but I talked to David Koresh's people, and before the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms went down there to David Koresh, they told me they were going to the Waco turkey shoot. This is Bill Buford, the regional director of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and Glenn Jordan, two agents. Bill Buford is retired. Now he's with Arkansas State Police, but a consultant. But anyway, before he totally retired, he had to go around and tell people how not to conduct a raid on a compound. And they called it was a church, but they, you know, when you want to down dog something, you call it a compound instead of a church. So anyway, they told me how bad Vernon Wayne Howe was, David Koresh. I'm a very good shot. I volunteered to go down there personally and shoot him myself, but they said it was more important that I go after a guy named Tom Peterson, and Tom Peterson was stalking William Jefferson Bly III, also known as Bill Clinton, and they said it was much more important to keep Bill Clinton alive than it was to take him out. But see, it all ties together because, Tim McVeigh, Timothy James McVeigh, also known as Tim Tuttle, He was at Waco. He was an agent also with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms undercover. And he's the one, okay, all the Clinton Whitewater tapes and diaries were stored in all the vacant rooms, the Murrah Federal Building, and that's the reason it was blown up on Patriots Day by Muslim and Klan terrorists, and the bombs in the building are the ones that cratered the building. And then room 911 was the ATF office. And then later on, the plans were made, and the plans were to take out the World Trade Center. If you read the Turner Diary, it all connects together. And see, they wanted Pastor Alamo to beat David Koresh. They wanted to make an example out of him. They still want to make an example out of him to this day. He refused to campaign for Bill Clinton. He refused to launder money for Bill Clinton when he had quite a bit of money, quite a bit of political power, and a lot of people that believed in him. He did not believe in Bill Clinton and wrote letters that he did not believe in Bill Clinton and did not support Bill Clinton. And then the feud was on, and Bill Clinton is meeting and talked to him and tried to get him to work for him, help him out. He refused to do so because he knew too much about Bill Clinton.
And so basically today what's going on at the Alamo Ministry is just a carryover of what wasn't accomplished back in the 80s and 90s, correct?
Totally correct. You're right on the money as usual, sir. It all connects together, and it's all this country was founded by people involved in a conspiracy to overthrow the British government and start their own government, and that's where it's still at. It's involved in all kind of conspiracies, and it's a conspiracy against this pastor to make him look bad. I mean, for example, if we broke down your door and filled you full of lead, sure, there would be all kind of child pornography on your internet site and so forth. Whether you put it there or not, there are people that can do that and do that, and I know for a fact, and I've had to take polygraph tests about everything that I'm telling you and that I have told you, and I will take a polygraph test with anybody, but I'm saying I'm telling the truth about it, and they can't handle the truth. The agents met with me, and my son was framed for this deal, for my involvement with these organizations and so forth, and he was a Lance Corporal of the Marine Corps, John Christopher Peeler, number 107832, East Arkansas Regional Unit. He's doing life without for murder. There's no body, no weapon, no blood, no hair, no crime scene, no forensic evidence, no eyewitnesses. Three people that say that he said that he murdered a missing person. Pastor Alamo, after I apologized to him and his people for what I had done to him, because I'm the one that told them the only way they're going to get him is tax evasion, and that's how they got him. But they got special people that are much better at tax problems than I am to set him up on the tax thing and so forth, and his people can tell you how they did it. But anyway, they told me if I would just go back to work, do my business, not talk on radio shows like yours and Deanne Burley and Dwayne Graham and so forth. And Dwayne Graham was with Fox News here in town, and after I got on his show, he lost his job too. But it's just conspiracy after conspiracy, and the people know what they're doing. Not everybody with ever agents is a criminal, but too many of them are, and the ones that are not criminals have to cover for the ones that are, sir.
Well, let's turn this up. Let's open this up to some of the we have a couple members of the Alamo Ministry with us today that want to talk about their case and also ask you questions, and I thought we'd open it up to them. We have Deborah Andrasek on the line and Anna on the line. I'm going to open it up to you. Let's start out with Deborah. Deborah, can you update us on what's going on? And please, if you have a question for John or just a comment you want to make, please go ahead.
Okay. Good morning. How is everybody there?
Very good.
God bless you. God bless you and your ministry and your children.
Well, thank you, and God bless you, too. And it's always good to hear from you, Mr. Peeler. For an update, I can give you a little bit of an update, but I am still under a gag order, so I'll be very careful about what I say here. But there's one thing that I'd really like to say on the air if I have the time to do it right now, and that is that when Bethany Myers, who is still in jail, and she's been in jail for since January 16th, I believe, just about 4 months now, and, you know, because she wouldn't disclose where her three girls are and turn them over to the DHS. However, Bethany maintains, and we all know, she has no idea where those girls are. And we're hoping that she'll get out, but in the meantime, she's still in jail. While she was in jail, a woman was in prison, was incarcerated there in Miller County Jail, and came in, and she became a convert. And she has a bad history, bad past, and she just, you know, loved being around Bethany. They would read Bible together. They would, you know, seek the Lord together right there in the jail. And all the people in their cell pod knew all about it. And she was released, oh, probably about a week and a half ago. And, of course, we went there to pick her up because she wanted to move into the ministries and where she could be around other Christians and help her to stay away from drugs and the life of crime that she came out of. And she had to report, she did, she moved into the ministry and she moved into a home we have that she shares with a lady that's 64 years old that's never been in any trouble at all in her life, the other lady. And she was, had to go report into her probation officer. And because of what she did, she has a probation officer in Alabama and she's also got one here. And the one in the probation officer in Texarkana was okay with her, you know, where she's staying. The one, she talked to the one in Alabama, and it kind of went back and forth a little bit. And what happened was that the man here told her that she wouldn't be able, at first he told her she wouldn't be able to stay, to move into the ministries and stay here. But she had to get housing elsewhere. And she also had to get a job elsewhere. She couldn't work within the ministry, which would have been very minimal work. And she couldn't be here. She had to, you know, he did say she could attend the service, but she can't be here because there's too much controversy over Pastor Alamo. And bear in mind now that Pastor Alamo has never been to court yet to be tried. He's never been convicted of any of these false allegations that they've brought against him. Well, that was the first thing that the man said. Then he came back, he spoke to the man in Alabama, and he came back and he said, well, we'll try her out for a few days and see how it goes. Well, just I think 2 days ago she got a phone call saying that she's not going to be able to stay in the ministry. She has to leave the ministry. This woman is 49 years old. She has no children within the ministry. Her children are all grown and gone, you know, wherever they are. And she can't stay here. And she can't have a job here. She can't, you know, be involved with the ministry. So I just thought that was a point that, you know, just to show how they don't want anybody to be involved here. And now she's come in here, and she said, I've been here. I've stayed there for, you know, a week and a half. She said there's no guns. There's no drugs. There's no anything there. You know, nothing evil. She said she stays with a woman that's never even had a traffic ticket in her life. She said nobody even smokes there, you know, and they still say she has to leave our ministries. You know, so here's a woman that has a really bad history, so she's going to go out there, and now in this economy she's going to go get a job, and she's going to, you know, this is what they want her to do. But what they really want is she'll just end up back there with the other, you know, other criminals so she can just go back into the world, be assimilated, and be like she was before. We're in the ministries. It's a place where you can come in as a young Christian. You get saved here. You get rooted and grounded in God's Word to learn how to overcome all the things that Satan comes to you with, you know, especially if you come out of lives of crime. And this is the way it is in our ministry. We, you know, new Christians get, you know, they get into the Bible and they find out how to fight the spiritual war that we're in, which is the war between God and Satan for the soul of man. And they learn how to do spiritual warfare. And Satan just can't stand that, and he will do anything he can to prevent anybody from moving into this ministry and becoming a soul winner for God or doing anything for the Lord. And, I mean, as I said, the pastor's never even gone to trial, never been convicted, and this is what we're up against right now.
Now, you know, Deborah, we'll get to Anna in a minute here, but John knows Pastor Alamo. He's been on my show. They've been on together. And John's actually apologized to him on the air for what he did. John left the FBI over this case back in the 90s. It was his last case. And he said many times on my show, and John will verify this, that this was an outward effort to disband this ministry and find any kind of charges against you guys, whether it be to plant pornography, which they tried to recently. John, tell us a little bit about that really quickly.
Okay,
you found out before they arrested Pastor Alamo on Mann Act charges. What
right.
were their intentions?
Well, the intentions, I talked to some of the people that still talk to me. A lot of them don't. Some still do. And I talked to some of the people with the federal agencies and so forth, and I talked to tried to get word to Pastor Alamo, and we were even talking on the air before he got busted, before they made the made-for-TV bus with the jackbooted thugs came on the air. But before that, I told him they're going to get him for child pornography. And that's basically, when they can't get you for anything, they used to get you for tax evasion, and they still do. But one of the things now, people that have the Internet and have computers, they can load it. They have a backdoor into computers. They can load your, whether you want it or not, they can load your computer full of child porn, break down your door. I don't have a computer, don't want a computer. I'm not allowed to put my finger. I told my friends and relatives I don't want to even put my fingerprints on their computer because I don't want to lose their computer. Because the deal is the easiest thing to get someone for is pornography on the Internet. And when I see it on the TV, on the news nearly every day here in Arkansas, I wonder whether people really did it or not. Because if they can get a child to say that you did something against a child, or if they can get pornography, you know, people in the neighborhood don't want to talk to you. You go on all kind of lists and so forth. You're a child pervert. You're ostracized by even your friends and relatives and things sometimes. And they just put a person totally down. And it's totally unfortunate the way they do people, that they put make this legend that they're a pervert, whether they are or not. And Pastor Alamo,
so originally they wanted to bring pornography charges against Pastor Alamo.
Right.
And what did they find out? So they changed their mind, correct?
That's well, the deal is when they found out he's over 75 and he's legally blind, they decided that wouldn't really look really good in court, even here in Arkansas, in the Republic of Arkansas, I call it. It wouldn't even look good here, sir. So they
so
had to go with the, get children and hold children and try to program children, mind control, hold the children, program the children, we'll let you go back to your family and so forth. We'll let you free. You can go live with your family and be fun and happy and stuff. We'll even give you the witness protection program if you want to, as long as you say this man touched you right here where I'm touching this little toy doll, you know. That's the kind of deal they pull on people here in Arkansas, sir, and in other parts of the United States also, but especially here, sir.
All right, let me. We're going to go into a break here. Let me just remind our listeners, we have two members of the Alamo Ministry on the line. We're going to get to more of their conversations after this break. We have Anna, who's been waiting patiently, so please wait, Anna. We have a whole half hour to go. We also have John Peeler on the line. He's an FBI agent. He's been on my show before, an ex-FBI agent. He told us about, he's telling us about really what's going on behind the scenes. Now, if anybody listening to this thinks that these charges have any merit after this, I really don't. Really, you need to think twice about where, you know, your allegiance to this kind of government that we've created that can say anything, do anything they want now, and apparently get the mass population of America to agree with them. Now, I believe that John Peeler's statements should be enough to get these cases dropped immediately, should be enough to get a directed verdict, to get both Pastor Alamo out of jail, and to get these children that are being held by child custody services back home to their parents. However, it's not happening because of the corruption inside of the Arkansas court system and inside of the DHS, the child services that we tried to document on this show. We'll be back in about 3 minutes with the two members of the Alamo Ministry and John Peeler. Back in 3 minutes.
Back in 3 minutes. Break here.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States in 1963.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no secret is revealed. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President today.
You were both in Skull and Bones, the secret society.
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
I've got a vision for what I want to do for the country. See, I know exactly where I want to lead. It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
Okay, we're back on the Investigative Journal, and before I get to my guests, I'd like to thank John Peeler again for coming on my show and lending his support and assistance to the parents of the Alamo Ministry who have lost their children. I mean, these kids have been gone now for months, and it appears to be, again, a legal matrix that they're caught into, despite hard evidence that this whole thing is a setup. Now, what better information and testimony do you have than an ex-FBI agent who was involved in this setup back in the 80s and 90s? And it was inside information that they're doing the same thing today. Now, that should be enough, like I said at the break, to get the court to drop both cases, to give a directed verdict right now for both of these cases, to get the children back home and Tony Alamo back in the ministry and out of his jail cell where he's been since September. But it's not happening. And the reason I stated was simple. These people are basically working for a corrupt system that wants to bring this man down, and it stems from his disagreement with former President Clinton and Governor of Arkansas, Clinton. And John knows that because he worked with them. And so it's solid testimony, and it's testimony that needs to be heard by the American people, and that's why I want to thank John for lending his time this morning to come on the show and give his support. You can go back to many of my other shows and go to my website at arcticbeacon.com and get a lot of John's former testimony regarding this case and many others he was involved with, and the inside information he had about David Koresh, about Timothy McVeigh, the connections to our government, the setups there at Waco and Oklahoma City, all have led to John leaving the FBI, being harassed by them, and his son sitting in a jail cell now on a fake murder charge, on a phony murder charge that they've trumped up to get John to shut up. That boils it down to what's going on. Now we have Deborah on the line from the Alamo Ministry, and also Anna, who wants to tell her story. Now, when Anna, I'm going to ask you to introduce yourself and then tell us what's on your mind. And John and Deborah, if you have any questions of Anna, or if you want to, feel free to just chime in. And Anna, if you have any questions of John or Deborah, go ahead. Anna, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you, Greg?
Oh, I'm fine. What's on your mind? Tell us what's on your mind and why you called in today. Go ahead.
Well, what's on my mind very heavily, of course, is the fact that Pastor Alamo is incarcerated falsely under false charges, and of course we all do want to see him released. He belongs out preaching the gospel and winning souls for the Lord Jesus Christ, what he has done since the time that the Lord has revealed himself to him. And, you know, I have been with the ministry since 1972, and it was a very miraculous conversion that I had, and that is why I am a part of this ministry. It's because God drew me to this ministry. You know, there's been a lot been said that just blast words with the media, mind control. And it is not mind control. This is God's control. God has control of, you know, of what he's doing in his ministry and bringing each and every one of us to this ministry. And I was a very young girl. I was 18 years old when the Lord revealed himself to me. I'm from a Mexican-American family background, second generation, born in California. And I had a very rough time as a child. My father was an alcoholic. And at 14 years old, I completely had closed up my heart. My father was very abusive to my mother, and I just wasn't going to let anybody touch my heart. And I, at that age, I started taking drugs and getting involved in very many things that was destroying me. And in 1972, I was at a party, and the Lord came down, and he audibly spoke to me. I felt his words go right through me. I was born and raised a Roman Catholic. I was, you know, I knew all about Catholicism. I lived it, and that's all I knew about God. And at that moment, when I was at that party, the Lord revealed himself to me, and he said, "The sin on your soul is taking you to a burning hell." And the reality of hell was alive to me at that moment. And I was terrified. The terror of the judgment of God came inside of my mortal body, and I knew that I was on my way to hell, and I didn't know what to do about it. And, you know, I'm so thankful that Pastor Alamo has through the years, sent out teams of witnessers all over the United States and into other countries to bring the message of salvation, because I met witnessers on the streets of Hollywood Boulevard the next night after that experience I had with God. And I had left that night thinking that I was not going to, there was nobody that knew God. I felt like there's nobody that knows God, and nobody can tell me how to get to God. And that next night I met the witnessers, and they told me the whole plan of salvation. They told me how that I could be saved and how I could ask Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior, and that the Lord could wash all those sins away and drown them into a sea of forgetfulness. And I came up to the church in Saugus, California, and at the end of the services I asked Jesus into my heart as my Savior. And I felt the Lord take those sins away. I felt him change me, and I knew I was changed. And you know something? I made the decision that night to lay down my life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I put my hand to the plow, as the scripture said, say, and I have not looked back. I have no desire for the world. I have a desire to tell the world about the Lord Jesus Christ and how they too can escape a burning hell as I did. And you know, that father that I spoke to you of, that was alcoholic and abusive, he too gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord immediately delivered him from alcoholism. And that's the God that is on his throne this day that we want people to know about. We want them to know that there's a God that can deliver from alcoholism. He can deliver you from drug addiction. He can deliver you from mental anguish. He can deliver you from all your physical pains. He can deliver from AIDS. God is an all-powerful God. And that's what the message that Pastor Alamo preaches, and that's what this ministry teaches. And, you know, that the marriages, you know, they keep going back about early marriages. You know, Pastor Alamo, he's not a Cupid. If people want to get married, that's their decision. I was 18 years old when I came to the ministry. I wasn't married, and I didn't get married until 1983.
Anna, if I could just say something. You've been with the ministry since 72. That's a long time. It's over 26 years. Now that you've been through what John Peeler has talked about, you may have been in California when he was doing working with the FBI in Arkansas to bring down the ministry there, but it was related. Now you saw all this going on. John since has come to find the Lord, and if I say this, if the Lord can take a guy like John Peeler, and John will say the same thing, and get him away from the FBI, show him the truth, and help him to work with people like you, he can do anything. And that's a perfect example. John's a perfect example of what you were talking about.
Right. But I have sinned and come short of the glory of God, brother, and I have killed people. I hope most of them were people that really needed it for my government and what I believed in and what I thought to be right at the time. May God have mercy on my soul, because I'm trying to do right now and get right with God. Because I could go any time now, and my current wife, number 5, I'm not bragging, I'm complaining, took out the maximum amount of life insurance she could take out on me, because the government could take me out at any minute. Because, and they're holding, you know, the leverage against my son, and they're holding the leverage against these people. They're holding the children of the Alamo Foundation and the Holy Alamo Mission, and they call it a compound. It's really a church and a school. And they're holding these people and trying to make them look bad and try to make them look evil to make themselves look better, like they're doing something. And all they're doing is doing criminal acts against men, women, and children that are trying to be right with God.
Very good, John. And Anna, I wanted to ask you, during your time there, have you seen any child abuse at all?
None. Never. That never happens in Alamo Ministries. And if somebody ever came into this ministry that was doing any of those kind of acts, they would be immediately asked to leave, because this is the Lord's ministry, and there is none of that allowed.
And Deborah, I didn't want to forget about you. Any comments?
I agree with everything that both of your guests have said, and I'd like to say that right now, you had asked for a little update, and the lawyers for Pastor Alamo are seeking a continuance, and you know, for his court case. I wanted to mention, I don't know if you knew about this, but the judge on our case and some of the cases at the ministry, the judge who actually signed the original search warrant to come to our ministries and search it and raid it, and that signed for all the Arkansas State Police to come here with and the SWAT teams with their machine guns on my 20-year-old daughter Alice and many of the other people that were here, and all the horrible raid and all that, he has passed on. He's not any longer on this earth. And I didn't know if you were aware of that or not, but I just...
I read a story. It's Judge Hudson. He went into the hospital recently. He was 54 or 56 years old. He had a cancerous growth on his small intestines, and an infection set in, and he died in the hospital recently. This just happened a week or two ago.
Yeah.
That's an update on that side of the story.
May 3rd.
Right. Deborah, you're under a gag order, and you can't say a lot about the personal things about your case, but I want to make it clear that you're not violating this, if anybody's listening, because you're talking about peripheral matters that have really nothing to do with the material aspects of the case, and I know that the lawyers out there won't understand what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
A gag order doesn't mean that you can't speak anymore. It means you can't talk about the substantial and material facts of your case, which you're adhering to. I wanted to make that clear so I didn't get you in any more trouble.
Right. And I just want to add that I have been with the ministries for 39 years, and the things that they're saying, I've worked very closely with Pastor Alamo, and the things that they're saying are not true. They're saying the same things about my 20-year-old daughter, Alice. My 20-year-old daughter, Alice, has never been married, and she's never been molested. She's never been sexually anything done to her. And, you know, they've said this about her for years and years and years. And, you know, they've said it about many of the children in the ministries that have never had anything done to them whatsoever. None of them have ever been molested. So for them to, you know, they, it's just what their agenda is to destroy the ministries. And, you know, we'll just see who wins here. I know one thing. God never loses. He's never lost a battle yet, and he never will. And so, and as Gamaliel, the Pharisee in the Bible, when they were persecuting Peter and the other disciples that were with him, and they were going to put them to death, the Pharisees were, or Sadducees, one of the sect, they were going to put Peter and the others with him to death. And Gamaliel, who was a Pharisee, he actually was the teacher of Saul, who became Paul, the apostle. He stood up and said, "Men and brethren, you know, if this work be of God, you know, leave it alone, lest, you know, you find yourself fighting against God. You cannot fight against the people of God and win. It won't happen.
Amen.
It may look dark for a while, but God always wins in the end. And these people that have left the ministries, they know that. They're, you know, God's a God of judgment, and by him actions are weighed. He is our judge. You know, he's the true judge, and we'll get righteous judgment from him, all right. So these people better lay off. They better back off.
Amen.
Okay, we have, in the case of the child, the children, we have a new attorney on the case as well. I had Cheryl Barnes on my show about a week ago, and she's heading up a citizens group around the country to get to the bottom of the abuses going on in Child Protective Services agencies. And Philip Kuhn, a civil rights attorney, has taken the case of the children, and he's now trying to open this thing up so that we can get release of these kids. John Peeler knows this story backwards and forwards. He was involved on the inside, trying to being ordered by his FBI agents to find anything they could to bring this ministry down. That to me sounds like a witch hunt. John's testified to that fact, is willing to take lie detector tests, which he's had forced to by the FBI, and he's passed. I don't know what else people would need. If you're a judge, or if you're basically involved in this case from the other side, what more information you need to give you an idea that this is a setup? It's enough for me to say this case, both of them need to be dropped. The kids need to go home. Gag orders taken off. And we need to then begin investigating what's going on in Arkansas and other states so that this doesn't happen again. They're trying to use this case as an example so that other people do not start forming these ministries like Tony Alamo's, and they're using it as a fear tactic. John knows how they operate. And before I get back to Anna, John, just comment simply on the other side of this story.
Okay.
Aren't they using Alamo as an example to frighten other people away?
Yes, sir. You're 100% correct, as usual, Greg. I mean, it's amazing how much you get to the point, but the deal is exactly right. And there's a bumper sticker in Arkansas that's been around for a while now. Has your church been approved of the BATF? And the deal is, I went to a lot of different churches and checked them out and so forth when I was working undercover at the United States Government Violent Crime Task Force. And, I mean, I went to his different business. I went to different stores. He owned stores, gas stations, restaurants, churches, schools. He had all kind of things going for him, and a park-like setting that people could live in if they chose to get off drugs and so forth. He'd help them get a job, help them get work, started a little factory to help people make money and so forth. The guy was just, I mean, he tried to do right by everybody, and the deal is the certain people in the government are afraid of people. The golden rule is whoever has the gold makes the rules. And he was starting to get a following, getting people, getting followers, getting ahead in the world and so forth. He refused to help out sleazy people like Bill Clinton and his family and their political aspirations and so forth, and other political aspirations of people that were not right with God. And the deal is, the man, I couldn't find anything. He was squeaky clean. To my knowledge, he's still squeaky clean. But, you know, evil things happen to good people. I mean, you get your reward in the life to come. And the deal is,
right,
my youngest son is doing life without in prison for murder. There's nothing to keep him there. I wrote letters to presidents, senators, congressmen. He's lost all his appeals. He turned 21 in prison doing life without parole. They framed him. They wanted to frame me, but when they sent me to court, I told the called the Secret Service in the White House and told them, when I go to court, I'm going to tell about my undercover operations with Bill Clinton and everything I know about Bill Clinton and family and Roger Butch Cassidy, the cocaine cowboy, and the whole spiel. And they said, you can't do that. You signed top secret orders and so forth. I said, well, you're not keeping your deal with me, so I don't have to keep the deal. But they had me go to court. I was charged with the same crimes my youngest son's crime with. I went to court. The Secret Service went with me. They refused to leave their firearms at the desk, went up to the courtroom, had the case against me dismissed. I sincerely hope and pray to God they call me in the Pastor Lamo case where I can get up and tell about crimes that I have been involved in against people here in Arkansas that have went to federal prison because of things that I did and was forced to do by the government. And I wouldn't be talking to you people right now if I hadn't done some of the things that I did, because I would be planted somewhere in one of these fields around here. And the deal is, it's very unfortunate that a government gets totally out of control and goes after a Christian group because they're trying to get people to their senses and get right with God.
That's right. Yep. And not only that, one point I'd like to bring out again, and that is that look at all the hundreds of thousands of boys that have been molested in the Catholic cult. Has there even been one priest or bishop or pope that's ever been jailed or, you know, called to order for these crimes? They just sweep it under the carpet. They just take their own, they shuffle them around from one parish to another while they keep on molesting, because it's a homosexual cult is what it is. People, that's what it is, and they haven't gone after them, but look what they're doing to Pastor Alamo.
Well, I want to say this. That brings to mind my Monday show, and I want you to all of you to tune in again, because I'm going to have on a minister. He's a former minister from Canada named Kevin Annett. Now, Kevin's been on my show before, and he's going to talk about what was going on with the Aboriginal children and the Native Canadian children in Canada regarding the Catholic Church and their complicity with the government to exterminate these kids by using Catholic orphanages. He's been on a lecture tour all over Canada trying to get this word out. It's an incredible story that I've tried to talk about here, and I think it has a relationship to your story, Anna and Deborah, because of the fact you will see abuse at its highest levels being documented. And I'm not talking about I'm talking about murder, and I'm talking about a man who lost his position as a minister, who's been hounded ever since. And when you hear his story, I know you'll want to listen. So tune in Monday, because it's connected to your story, and you'll see the abuse that's gone on with these Native children in Canada and how they set out to exterminate this group of people. It's just a sad, sad story. Kevin and Ned will be on the show Monday to talk about it. Anna, I wanted to finish off with you. We have about 4 minutes left. So you've been with the ministry since 72. You've seen a lot. You've seen it all, 27 years.
Yeah.
Now, there's been no cases of child abuse like it's been reported in the Internet on some of these crazy sites, and also has been reported by the mainstream media. Is that true from your perspective at the ministry?
Yes, that is definitely true. There has not been the abuse that they have just been blasting through the media. This ministry is for the betterment of people, so that they too can enter the kingdom of heaven. That's the bottom line, is heaven and hell. And we want to see the world won for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, that with what's going on with the court cases and everything, you know, we look to the help of men to help us in these court cases, but the ultimate is God. We look to the Lord Jesus Christ for the deliverance, and we ask everyone to please pray with us and bind in together with us for the deliverance of our pastor and all of these that have been
bound in the children, for them to be delivered, these precious children, and to be reunited with their parents who are good people. They are wonderful people. This poor mother who is there, that she has always been a good mother to her children.
Okay, Anne, if I could break in, we only have 2 minutes. Deborah, any last words, and leave John a minute to say something, okay?
Well, just thank you for allowing us to be on the show today, and just ask you to keep Pastor Alamo in your prayers, and all of us in your prayers.
Okay, and we'll continue to update this show weekly, this story weekly on this show, on the Investigative Journal. Any last words, John Peeler?
Yes, God bless Pastor Alamo and his ministry, and my son, John Christopher Peeler, number 107832, who's doing Life Without, who Pastor Alamo was trying to help. And evil men prosper when good men do nothing. And God bless you, and thank you very much for having me on your show. Anytime I'm willing to talk and tell the truth, and I'm willing to take a polygraph test, go to court for Pastor Alamo, whatever it takes, because in my opinion, he's a man of God. I've never seen or heard him say or do anything that I would have any fault with.
All right, John, Deborah, Anna, thank you so much. And we'll have you all on again to keep this story fresh in the minds of the American people. And, John, we will dedicate a show to some of the other stories that have significance to the Alamo story, that is Waco, Oklahoma City, and other things that you have information about, just to keep it fresh in the minds of the American people. So, again, I want to thank you. I want you to all listen to my show Monday, and you will hear about some of the abuses going on in Canada that are, of course, related to this story. And hopefully we can get some justice in this case. And, all of you people out there, look for the truth. Get both sides of the story. Thank you.